Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. We are here the day after the Royal Rumble pay-per-view event. And boy, I'm looking forward to getting your calls on this show. A very widespread ranging opinions, I guess, on the WWE Royal Rumble match and the event itself. I really liked the overall event. I thought it was a strong show from WWE. No, you know, you just look at the main card itself, and I didn't really feel like any match underdelivered, including the Royal Rumble match. And one of the themes of my hit list today was essentially that you don't have to like the winner to like a match. And so my thought is that, yeah, I wanted AJ Styles to go on to WrestleMania as champion, and technically he still could with the Elimination Chamber and that, but I still really liked the match. I had no desire to see Randy Orton win the Royal Rumble. I really appreciated the way they used Roman Reigns in that match to actually get the crowd to react favorably to Randy Orton. I still don't think Randy Orton is the right guy to win the Royal Rumble, but I give them credit for the way they did it. If you're going to do it, well, I think they pulled it off about as well as anyone could by using Roman Reigns the way they did. But I definitely want to hear from you guys today. The number to call is 773-897-6321. And a reminder, if you are on hold and you start going, hey, why aren't they taking my calls? It's probably because you didn't hit the number one on your phone. So if you're on hold, that's all you have to do is hit the number one. Coming up a little bit later today, I'm going to be telling you about how you can get 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership for just $1. We have a ton of audio content available. I will be telling you about that. And I will be welcoming my co-host of the show, Will Pruitt, who is celebrating 6 years with ProWrestling.net today. Man, time flies. He said he'd be running a little bit late. I should get my gushing about Will out of the way while he's not here, so that he doesn't hear it. I don't have to say it live to him because that would be really awkward. But I'll save it. I'll be nice. But yeah, he's running a few minutes behind today. But you can definitely check out as you're listening here. Will wrote his pause review and addressed his anniversary and also wrote a great piece on his thoughts on the Royal Rumble. My hit list is available, and boy, I'm trying to think. Oh, and at 3:30 Central Time, so at the bottom of this hour, if you're listening live, there's going to be a really cool Rumble feature going up. .NET member Efren, he did this last year, does a great job of tracking all the times of the Rumble. This year, so you find out how long each guy was in the Rumble. This year even took it so far as to figure out things like how long the music for each wrestler lasted, things like that. Efren's a great guy, and I really appreciate him taking the time to do this. And I forgot to do this last night in my Rumble audio review. I got to take a second to say a big thank you also to Pooch, my guy Pooch, John LaPooch. We worked together at Fanball, longtime friend. And some of you, if you've bumped into me at a show, good chance you've seen Pooch there. He is my unofficial official Royal Rumble spotter. I would be lost without Pooch during the Rumble match trying to write the report and keep track of all the eliminations, and Pooch does a brilliant job with that. Again, the number to call today, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321. Just press 1 on your phone once you are in the caller queue, and then we will know that you want to talk to us. The chat room is open, believe it or not, I did remember. And final thing to mention before we get Will on the line. It looks like he is here. Damn it, I didn't get to get the gushing out of the way before he got here. One final thing is that it is official. My co-host for tomorrow's show. Yes, we're back. ProWrestling.net Live on Tuesday as well. Same time, same place. Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News. It took a long, long negotiation. It was a tough process, but Brian finally agreeing that he would call into the show. Actually, we were trying to figure out if he'd be able to do it. We almost had to change the time of the show. He was at the Rumble. He was at the NXT TakeOver show, and he is working Radio Row for the Super Bowl this week. And so he's got a lot going on down there. But he said he would be able to, he confirmed here just minutes before the show. So Fritzy, the last guy to conduct what I consider to be a good interview with Vince McMahon. The New Orleans one was just kind of blah. But, yeah, Brian Fritz will be joining me tomorrow, 3 Central, 4 Eastern time again at blogtalkradio.com. With that said, let's bring the one, the only, Will Pruitt into the show if Blog Talk will cooperate. Will, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great. Happy anniversary, man. 6 years you've been working with ProWrestling.net. That's amazing.
It's really stunning that I've put up with you for this long.
And I'm still going to hug you when we meet in person.
It's going to be really weird. I did hug Jake when we met in person. That wasn't bad. So
well, you always told me you would hug Jake, but not me.
Oh. I might be more open to hugs now. People change in 6 years, you know?
I suppose. Yeah, well, I the way I looked at it, too, is that every year that passes, it's the hug lasts a second longer. So, you know, had we met in year one, it would have been a nice quick one. Now we're up to 6 years. It's going to get awkward.
Ooh, that's if that's at a wrestling show, like, people are going to be staring by the time we're done.
We could have a roast battle beforehand because they hug afterward, and then people wouldn't think anything of it.
That's true.
Hey, what did you think of the Royal Rumble match itself, the outcome? I mean, again, people can check out your pause at prowrestling.net, but we wouldn't fill a lot of audio time here, a little radio time with if we just directed people to the site.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought the show overall was very good and on the verge of being great. The matches that preceded the Rumble were excellent. The actual Rumble match, you can count me among those disappointed by a lack of surprises, and I was really, truly disappointed by the last 15 minutes of the Rumble. Once it became apparent that, oh, well, they're going to stock the ring with everybody for The Undertaker, for Goldberg, and for Brock Lesnar, and that those three were going to be three of the last five entrants, I think that was a really, really weak place for the Rumble to go to. And the end with Orton winning didn't leave me feeling super optimistic either. So I would say I liked the show. I'd probably give it about an 8 out of 10. But the end left me feeling very flat and pretty let down.
Zach settled in also at an 8 last night in our 85-plus minute audio review of the show. I think I came in at an 8.5. I really enjoyed the show. It's just hard to find many flaws as far as the in-ring product was concerned. I agree. I mean, the final minutes of the Rumble certainly could have – I mean, they saved some star power for it. I've heard complaints about the middle section of the Rumble. And I got to say, this year more than usual – because we've seen some dud Rumbles. But this year more than usual, I don't know if it's because I had high expectations for a surprise. But it would seem like even if it was just kind of a ring full of guys you didn't think was going – any of them were going to win – it still held my interest. I don't know if it was they just went rapid fire with the entrances, going about 90 seconds in most cases rather than 2 minutes, but there was always that suspense of, okay, who's coming next? This might not look good right now, but who's coming next? That worked for me. So I've heard people kind of liked saving the big names for late, even though they weren't in there long because it protected them, but not so much what it did to the middle of the show. Did that bother you at all?
Yeah, and I would say that was one of my key issues with the Rumble was from the time when Braun Strowman was eliminated, who was a contender to win it in a lot of people's minds,
yeah,
up until Brock Lesnar entered, it felt like a whole lot of nothing happened in the Rumble. Guys would clear the ring with finishers, but you had a lot of guys just laying around doing nothing on the sides of the ring as all of that happened. I would say the only kind of compelling through line for that portion of the Rumble was probably that of Sami Zayn taking every possible finisher he could right up until he got the jackhammer from Goldberg. I didn't see anything particularly enjoyable in that, and I usually try and look at Rumbles as kind of like three-act stories in a way. I thought Act 1 with Strowman was good, but Act 2 lasted way too long until Brock came out and you finally got to the third act, which was, Brock, Undertaker, Goldberg, and Reigns all having their entrances and their moments.
We're going to get to calls here in just a second. 616 will be up first. 773-897-6321 is a number to call. Hit 1 on your phone once you are on hold, and we will know you want to talk to us on the air. I guess before we get to the obvious, the winner, what did you think of what they did with Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg?
I thought it was good. I was among those really not excited for their Survivor Series match, and I liked what they did despite it being very quick. I liked how unexpected it was, and I thought they played off of that well. They continued that story and had me more excited than I ever thought I'd be about the prospect of those two at WrestleMania, even though I still think once the bell rings and they got to go longer than 90 seconds, it could get real rough.
Do you think they will? I mean, I know it's rumored they're going to close the show, and I think at that point they almost need to. But is there a chance that it's just not a repeat, because I think that's what the Rumble was, but that they do find, you know, some way to go keep it brief?
I think they could keep it to 10 minutes and probably have a pretty decent 10-minute match, especially if they're allowed to break out a bag of tricks. They make it no disqualification or something like that, and let those two throw some stuff around at ringside. I think you could get maybe a full, you know, 10 minutes, 15 out of it, but I don't think they can go 20 or, you know, the 25 to 30 that we're accustomed to WrestleMania main events lasting.
God, I hope not. That I can't even imagine Goldberg. I mean, we know Brock can, but with Goldberg, ouch. I think they figured it out this time. You know, the first time Goldberg was with the company, they did just kind of a lousy job. And this time around, I think they're very aware of his limitations. I think if they were starting to get a little cocky, I think Bill Goldberg on the mic on Raw may have kind of reminded them that, oh, yeah, we got to watch ourselves with this. And then, of course, last question before we get to our first caller, the finish. Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, word had kind of leaked. I wish the damn UK betting sites would go away forever, selfishly. I mean, God bless them, but I know it's kind of my job to, you know, at times I'm going to end up spoiling some things, and I always try to be careful about doing it, but they need to tighten things up, Will. It bothers me that we knew the Rumble winner midweek.
Yeah, that was quite a leak in WWE's process, and especially things like the Rumble winner. You hope and pray that, I mean, maybe it is something where WWE needs to keep it quiet and keep it where, hey, Vince knows, the head writer of the show knows, you know, where there's maybe a short list of people who know right up until guys are going to the ring for the Rumble. I think that could probably help, but who knows what WWE's internal policies are, and who knows how much those writers supplement their income by betting on the professional wrestling that they know the outcomes of. You'd think those sites would lose a fair amount of money, too.
But there must be enough people offsetting that, just fans betting on their favorites.
I didn't really like Orton winning. I thought as that rumor came out, I looked at the landscape in WWE and kind of just said, that is the least compelling thing to me. I'd be fine. I would have been cooler with an Undertaker, a Goldberg, a Brock Lesnar winning the Royal Rumble than I am for Randy Orton. Like, Randy Orton, who has been in a side story, not even a main event story, on SmackDown since the brand split. He got beat up real bad by Brock Lesnar just randomly at SummerSlam and hasn't really said a thing about it or done a thing about it since. That's what Randy's doing. Okay. And on top of that, Randy Orton debuted for WWE in 2002 and has been a main event player since 2005. Randy Orton is a 12-year main eventer in WWE. That's not the guy who needs a Rumble win. I'm sorry. Like, that to me, and I'm not someone who says someone new should win it every year, but WWE seems almost allergic to making new stars at this point.
Does Vince not watch NXT? I mean, you know, we've heard stories that he's obviously been there. We've seen pictures. And
it's on at the gym.
But, I mean, it's just crazy to me that Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, he won't do anything again. He brought in AJ Styles last year in the Rumble, and I think that's because AJ bypassed NXT. If they had started him there, he'd probably still be there. Yeah, I wish more guys were able to do that. But it's just, it is frustrating. I mean, I labeled it a Vince McMahon comfort zone pick of one of his usual suspects. And, you know, they're doing, we see Kevin Owens has the championship, and we'll talk about him later. We see that they're giving Braun Strowman a push. So it's not always exactly the same people, but boy, it seems to take a lot for him to just really decide to shake things up radically. Last time he tried with Finn Balor, unfortunately, Balor got hurt, and that radical shift lasted all of one night. But let's start to take some calls here, and I'm sure people will be bringing up some subjects that we wanted to discuss anyway. The number to call, 773-897-6321. Press 1 on your phone. And let's start filling up those callbacks here. It's actually kind of a light day. I know it's a little bit earlier. It's Monday. People are at work. But if you want to get onto the show and talk with us, great. Otherwise, me and Will have been known to chat for hours, so we'll have no trouble at all filling this time, I assure you. But 616, where are you calling from?
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. How are you guys doing?
Hey, great. Good to hear from you.
Where are they going with Dean Ambrose? What's his future going to be? And then my second question is, do you think Owens and Jericho are still going to be on for WrestleMania? And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. I guess I haven't really given much consideration, Will, to Dean Ambrose. What does the future hold for this guy?
I look at Dean Ambrose and I see a guy who will end up in some sort of multi-man match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship, maybe a ladder match depending on who draws the big multi-man ladder match spot. But I think he's firmly in that mid-card that can be a main eventer, but won't be a main eventer come January through April, because that's when all the part-timers come back and when guys take a natural step down, and he's very much on that border.
Yeah, are we getting to the point now where it's going to become like the annual Dean Ambrose and Miz and a bunch of other guys ladder match, Money in the Bank style match for the secondary title? Yeah, I mean, he did have the match with Brock Lesnar. And boy, was it just me, Will, or did Brock about take his head off last night in the Rumble?
I think Brock was taking a lot of heads off. I'm just glad. Part of me wishes he would have just had a flashback and gone off on Randy Orton again, just for the heck of it. But, yeah, Brock definitely seemed to go a little stiff on Dean Ambrose, and makes sense given some of the comments Ambrose made on the WWE Network about Lesnar.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's Brock. He gives everybody some wicked German suplexes, and he did hit Enzo with a big clothesline later. But that one looked, I don't know. Maybe I think I would have been looking at that one going, ooh, even if Ambrose had never said anything. That was quite the shot. The other one, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, do you think that is where they are going for Mania? And is the title involved? I'll add to it.
I think that's where they're going for WrestleMania. I think a title's involved. I think the United States title will likely be involved there. So, yeah,
right.
I'll put Ambrose in a multi-man ladder match for the IC title. But I don't see the Universal Championship involved. There are already rumors out there that the Fastlane main event is Goldberg and Owens, and I just wouldn't be shocked to see Goldberg beat Owens in 30 seconds and end up as a WWE champion.
It goes back to something Jim Ross wrote recently, too. He said that he thinks Vince McMahon would want a title involved in the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match at WrestleMania, and I don't. I don't think it needs one. But obviously, Vince McMahon worked closely with Jim Ross over those years. JR's going to know how Vince McMahon thinks. And, you know, and for all I know, JR had some inside info on this one, knowing the direction they were going in, and he was being a little coy with it. I don't know. But I think you're right. I mean, well, let me ask you, I think we've kind of been playing this game. What's the percent chance of Kevin Owens going into WrestleMania as the champion?
30%, I'll give it now, just because he left the Rumble as champion. But given how much time you have on that Raw brand, I could see a lot of that becoming much, much clearer tonight, say if they do decide to make the Fastlane main event tonight or in the next couple weeks. But I'm really low on Owens' chances on of going into WrestleMania as the Universal Champion.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, once they put that championship on Chris Jericho, it's certainly set things up for something with them. Now, hey, it could turn out that that's the big, you know, just train wreck mash with the ladders. But I think they're working towards something with Jericho and Owens, and Jericho likely taking time off here. Looks like he's got some summer festival dates coming up with Fozzy. So I think he's even talked about how he's leaving, plans to leave soon. But we've learned over the years, don't pay attention to anything Chris Jericho says, because once in a while he'll be truthful when it comes to, you know, things like his wrestling future. But there's a lot of times where he's just going to outright lie and shamelessly do so, and I applaud him for it, because why should he let the cat out of the bag on certain things? Where do we go then? Is it okay? So are you outright predicting Goldberg Lesnar for the championship at WrestleMania? Is that the direction you think they're heading in?
It is right now. I am not like making firm prediction. I'm going to hold to this through the day before WrestleMania,
yeah.
But I definitely think they're going with Goldberg Lesnar for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. It adds something to that match. I know you don't think it does. My argument would be they've had the match before. They've done it. You can have Brock somehow earn his way into the match after Goldberg wins the title, and you have something a little different and a little special there. I don't know where it leaves you the night after WrestleMania when two part-timers have fought for the title and one of them holds it, but I also know it's the first notable main event for that Universal Championship. That's something WWE has not really done, is established the Universal Championship as anything more than the Red World Championship, as anything special, and that is a special main event on the lineage of that title. And I, as much as I don't think, you know, overall, if you ask me if Goldberg and Lesnar main eventing WrestleMania is good for the wrestling business, I'm going to tell you, heck no, tech no. But if you ask me, might it be good in the short term for that title and for WWE? Yeah, probably is.
So it very much mimics Goldberg's entire run. Good for the short term, you know, beating Brock Lesnar the way he did and everything. Not necessarily great for the long term, because I still feel like, yeah, they're getting themselves a nice WrestleMania stretch, maybe even SummerSlam. Who knows how long Bill Goldberg sticks around. Long term, that easily could have been Joe or Nakamura or somebody who really could have taken advantage of that win over Brock Lesnar, that decisive win. And just to kind of clarify, now I do think the title adds something to Goldberg Lesnar. I don't think it needs it, though. But it does add something. I just would rather see the championship be involved elsewhere on the show, on guys who need it more. Go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is it better for that title to be in a match like Goldberg Lesnar that might close the show, like that might be the very end of WrestleMania, or is it better for that title to be in a, say, mid-card match between Kevin Owens and, Roman Reigns in that? Like the
SmackDown title, basically, is going to be.
Yes, absolutely it will be. The SmackDown title, if the SmackDown title match is Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt somehow, I think that match opens WrestleMania.
Wow. That's your main event, everybody, because we all know the Rumble winner, main event's WrestleMania. Again, I think it's better in the short term without knowing their long-term plan, because it's like, yeah, for Mania and for the title at that moment, of course, better to be in the main event. What do they do after? Do we go back to part-timer no matter who wins?
Does Brock hold the title through to, like, SummerSlam without defending it like he did in 2014?
Yeah, or Goldberg for that matter.
Yeah.
So that's what scares me a little bit about this. And, the other part of this that really does irk me is I think we're heading into a situation where the longest-running champion at WrestleMania is going to, going into the show is going to be, whoever wins at Fastlane, because I do think we'll see a title change between now or at Elimination Chamber, so it won't even be John Cena.
Yeah.
And I do think we'll see one in Fastlane. Will, I hate when they do that. I want a long-running champion going into WrestleMania. Is that too much to ask for?
I don't think so, and I think it's very counterproductive on WWE's part to, say, have long-reigning champions like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens were, who reigned as champions all through the summer, all through the fall, into the winter, but, oh, WrestleMania time rolled around. We got to shuffle the deck a little bit and completely upend the stories that they were telling and all of that when, that AJ Styles-John Cena match to me, that could have been a WrestleMania main event and would have been epic as one. You could do a lot with that if you just show a little bit of restraint, and WWE doesn't do that a ton. They seem to just toss the title around a little bit right before WrestleMania, and that's something that was a hallmark in the old brand split. They would always have the Elimination Chamber show, and one of the titles was defended in the Elimination Chamber. The other one you know, was for a title shot. It was always a little bit of weirdness around those chamber matches where every, you know, it seemed like they could go in a lot of directions, and there was this 1-in-6 thing of, okay, I mean, take the SmackDown chamber, we're probably going to see. Baron Corbin's going to be in it. No one's going to expect Baron Corbin to main event WrestleMania, but he could. It's always a little odd.
It is. 773-897-6321 is the number to call if you were on hold wondering, hey, why aren't they talking to me? I'm waiting. Hit 1 on your phone. That will let me know through Blog Talk that you want to join us, as 713 does. 713, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. Hey, well, this is former, I guess, ambassador.net member RK Lion. How's it going?
Wow, nice to hear from you, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. So watched the Romo just like y'all did. Just had 2 points to bring up. Regarding Vince's comfort zone with having Orton win, what's not to say he changes his mind and kind of bring in more casual viewers and have Cena face Orton for the title at WrestleMania, because that wouldn't start WrestleMania compared to Orton and Bray. Plus, I'm not sure there's many of the casual fans know who or what Bray Wyatt is at this point. So what do you think about that match possibly being for the SmackDown title?
Sure, let's start. We'll cut you off there and start with that one. Will, your thoughts on another John Cena-Randy Orton match?
That's my main thought on it, is that it's another one. We saw WWE try and go to Cena and Randy Orton at TLC 2013 as the biggest match of all time. Both world champions. One title coming out of it when they unified the old world championships. Also, old world championship would be great. You have to fight in suits of armor. It'll be awesome. But when they unified the old championships in that way, they tried to make Cena and Orton seem like this massive match, and ultimately it seems like less than the sum of its parts. And I think you would get that again with John Cena and Randy Orton. What story is there left to tell? What is there left to do? That match has been cycled through so many times, and while some casual fans may not have seen it, just as many probably will go, ooh, not again. And that's not even mentioning the WrestleMania fans that will absolutely kill that match. It will bring back the good old days of hating John Cena, where it wasn't just something fun to do, but where people legitimately hated John Cena. I think that would be a major mistake.
Lion, what Will said, and I want to ask you a question, what's the hook for that match? It's not John Cena going after the record-breaking championship if they stick with the way things are now. So what's the real hook for it? It's just John Cena defending against Randy Orton again.
I don't have a good answer to that question. Granted, that's for creative to figure out. I'm just thinking on the basis of, if you're going to have Goldberg and Brock fight for the Universal title, then I would really think it would be a step down to have an Orton and Bray match for the SmackDown title. I think brings that title. Yeah, that brings that title way down.
I think that's all the more reason for them to do it. not to me, but like to them. They're going, we can finally get this SmackDown show back on track as the B show. It's been too good.
I mean, I'd like to see Bray Wyatt get something out of this. That would be nice. I mean, he's just been underutilized for so long. But, yeah, I mean, I can't say the idea of Bray and Randy excites me in any way. You know, as I said at the top, I really enjoyed the Rumble. I really enjoyed the way they used Roman Reigns to actually get people to cheer Randy Orton winning the Rumble. I don't know that they could have.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. I don't know that they could have used anyone else and managed to get that type of reaction. It was a terrific call on their part. But, Lion, you said you had one more for us, so let's get to that.
Just real quick, kind of putting the end on that last topic.
Yeah.
Last thing, when's the last time Bray's won a meaningful feud? I mean, do I really want to see Randy Orton win the title at WrestleMania again? I mean, that doesn't excite me, especially if Bray wins the title, you know, the next 30 days at the next pay-per-view, and then he were to drop it to Randy at WrestleMania. That doesn't excite me. At least if you have an Orton-Cena match, I assume Cena would retain, but, you know, how long would he keep the title afterward? you know, we'd have to find out. But my last point was regarding if either Goldberg or Brock leaves the title or leaves WrestleMania with the title. What's not to say you have a Roman Reigns who just defeated Undertaker at WrestleMania take that title off that guy the next night? What do you think about that?
Give me that scenario one more time.
If you have the proposed match between Roman Reigns and Undertaker, I would assume Roman Reigns would win. So what's not to say he would be the guy to take the title off of either Brock or Goldberg the night after WrestleMania?
The very next night. Okay, very good. Hey, really good to hear from you again. It's been a long time. Thank you very much for calling in. I'll put you back on hold. Will, I mean, it's certainly a scenario. There's nothing stopping them is basically my answer to that. But it's more so than that, do you like the idea? If Roman is a heel, do you think he is a heel? Do you think that's where they're going with this? If he ends up taking the championship from either guy coming out of WrestleMania that next night on Raw, when you know that Raw audience is likely going to hate him, but he'll be a heel, so maybe they'll like him. Who knows?
I think it's definitely interesting. I would have it on the table for sure. I would even say, okay, well, what if we did it at the next pay-per-view? Say Brock Lesnar comes out of the Goldberg match as champion, which is kind of what I think will happen. Then at that next pay-per-view, you can do Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Roman's the only other guy to have beaten Undertaker at WrestleMania. You almost get back some of that Brock and Roman magic that they had going into WrestleMania 31, and honestly, you can play off of that a little bit and play off of the fact that they had a killer WrestleMania main event together. And I think either the next night or the next month at, you know, whatever the next pay-per-view is, you could do Brock versus Roman and have it be meaningful, important, and have Roman capture the title there. And, you know, then Brock can go away for a couple months because that's his jam.
Who eliminated Goldberg last night? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Undertaker?
Okay, that's what I was thinking. But I was hoping it was Reigns because it would have made my point better. But remember, we have seen some Goldberg and Roman stare-downs too. So it could even be, if they want to prolong this, I mean, I would think Lesnar gets his win back at WrestleMania, but if they want to drag this out to SummerSlam, somehow Goldberg escapes with the championship, and then Roman could even beat him the next night too is one way to do it. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely an interesting scenario there. But, I mean, as far as Roman Reigns right now, Will, what do you expect tonight? Is he a heel now? Did they turn him, or is this going to be long, you know, or are we kind of on that journey at least? Or do you think, nope, it's still same old, go ahead and choose what you want to, they're going to position him the same way?
I think we are on a journey that says eventually Roman might be, but I think right now it's, well, Roman, like if I'm WWE making up my reasoning, Roman's very popular and Undertaker's very popular, so naturally when the two of them are in the ring together, fans have to pick a side and they're going to pick one. And I think that may be their reasoning going into WrestleMania, not Roman's a heel now, but I want to see how Roman acts. I think even right after eliminating Undertaker, he had a nice little heel moment, and I think Roman naturally falls into being a bit of a jerk really well, and I think he's great at it, and I would love to see him get to explore that more, where they almost don't have an option after WrestleMania to reset him, where they're just like, oh, no, Roman's our top antagonist on Raw now, which Raw sorely needs, because Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens are not a top heel act.
They definitely do. I mean, it's long overdue to turn this guy. I really hope that's the direction they're going in. I mean, they obviously recognize it, and if they're convincing themselves that, well, it's just, you know, this Royal Rumble crowd's going to be tough on Roman, so we can use him tonight. You know, and I say that because they've convinced themselves so many times, well, he's getting a John Cena reaction. As long as he's getting a reaction, it's great. I don't know. He doesn't need to be healed today. But I'm fine with that journey playing out through WrestleMania when he officially, you know, and then he either turns at Mania, he turns the next night. I like the idea of him being champion as a heel. I'm all for it. One of the things I mentioned in my hit list at ProWrestling.net is the idea of him drawing number 30. Is okay. Yeah, I mean, we've all been kind of conditioned to not read too much into very convenient Royal Rumble number draws, unless it's like Triple H at 30 last year. But that kind of plays into it. Will, if they want to play connect the dots with this, doesn't have to be tonight, but at some point in the future, this guy lost his U.S. championship in a glorified, I think it was a handicap match outright, and then he lost the Universal Championship match last night because of Braun Strowman interfering. But this guy, you know, what if the storyline is this guy finally reached his breaking point and he's tired of the fans and all of that, and yeah, he sold his soul. And Stephanie and Hunter, you know, now that he's aligned with them, rewarded him by giving him number 30.
What I don't like about that is the way it centers on authority figures even more, and I think Roman Reigns could be a strong heel without authority figures. Roman Reigns, to me, is a strong antagonist without needing to get heat because he's friends with Stephanie or he's friends with Triple H. I think Roman Reigns, you could even have him at some point turn his back on Seth Rollins and have a fun little moment there of symmetry between those two. But yes, you're right. He could absolutely say he sold his soul to the authority as well, because we know WWE has to find something, many somethings for Stephanie and Triple H to do.
Tune in tonight because Seth Rollins and Stephanie are going face-to-face. Like, really? I think people know, like, there's a good chance we're seeing Hunter, that sort of a thing. But still, it's like, just nothing involving Stephanie is a hook for me. It just isn't. But the other, okay, here's a, since we're kind of daydreaming, a little fantasy booking here. The other scenario I'll throw out is one that we've actually talked about in the past, which is, remember how complimentary Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns were of one another? What if Brock does win the championship, and then Roman gets his match that night after, as Arcade Lion was suggesting, and it's Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. Paul sides with Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar goes away till SummerSlam. Will? Oh,
sorry,
my, have I lost
that.
Oh, there he is.
I would absolutely be fine with that. It fixes a lot of what is currently wrong with that Roman Reigns character, and that he doesn't talk well, although I think his heel promos would be a little bit better. It still gives a kind of, you know, it gives him a little bit of something. It also kind of breaks up a little bit of staleness around Brock Lesnar, who I don't think is as good without Paul Heyman, but he'd be fine. I think there's still some mystique to Brock. There's still something there, and you would just keep Brock in limited verbal confrontations as best you can, and have him, obviously, as the babyface out there seeking vengeance against Paul Heyman, who's turned his back on him. And I think that could be a fun story for the next year in WWE.
And it would keep the authority out of it. So, yeah, I mean, just a little fantasy booking fun there. Hey, we've got 956 and 347 coming up, but I do want to take a moment to tell you, I mentioned it earlier, $1 for 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership. If you are new to the site, you might not realize the savings involved. That will knock $6.50 off of our monthly rate. $1 for 1 month of membership is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. You can also listen to all of our audio content from our entire history. I think next month is 9 years. I meant to look it up today. I'm so bad with years and dates and things like that, but almost positive it's 9 years, not eight. So a big backlog of audio history that we have, six of those years with Will Pruitt today, as a matter of fact. And also, you will be able to hear last night's Royal Rumble audio review that Zach Zimmerman and I got together and did. We talked for 87 minutes, almost 88 minutes on that. My NXT TakeOver review from Saturday night. And we cover all the major television shows in audio form as well. For instance, tonight, the .NET members will hear my exclusive audio review on the WWE Raw show. They will also be hearing SmackDown, 205 Live, Ring of Honor, NXT, TNA, all of that on a weekly basis. And sometimes you guys hear them on the all-access side. If they're not there, it doesn't mean that we didn't do them. It means that they are member-exclusive audio shows. If you are interested in taking advantage of this special, and we do not do many, all you have to do is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. There's a sign-up area. Click right into that, and then you'll find three different pricing options. And you can certainly sign up for the annual membership or the six-month, and you'll save some money there. But if you're interested in the $1 for one-month special, look for the coupon area, the coupon code area, and simply enter Rumble and the number 1. Altogether, Rumble 1. And then you will gain access to all the perks of .NET membership. As always, if you ever have questions about any of this, you can email me directly at .NETJason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out, DotNetJason. That member never should have told me that I can say it that way. But it's .NETJason@gmail.com. And or you can reach out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And, Will, before I forget, where can people find you on Twitter these days? You've changed.
I have. It's at Will Pruitt, but with one L, because at Will Pruitt with two L's is apparently a thing already that someone has and never tweets from. I secretly hate that human, but at Will Pruitt with one L.
You could just change the legal spelling of your name and act like it's some kind of weird tribute to Ric Flair going, R-I-C.
Yeah. The second L is pretty unnecessary, to be honest. I mean, who do I think I'm fooling with two L's? No one's saying, like, an extra long L because there's a second one there.
As a guy who has two L's at the end of his last name, I got to admit, there's times I feel greedy, and maybe you should as well.
Yeah, I'm using way too many letters. Honestly, I should take all of the double letters. Why do I need two T's at the end of Pruitt? That's ridiculous.
You are one selfish person. Hey, everybody, I will be recording tonight after Raw. The members' audio will be up just a little bit later tonight with Jim Ross for the Ross Report podcast that will be dropping on Wednesday night. I like to say dropping because it's cool and hip. And it comes out Wednesday night, and we will be discussing the Royal Rumble. I like to refer to this as the biggest podcast ever, and it's because of the combined weight of the host, Jim Ross, myself, and Tyrus, mostly due to Tyrus. But Tyrus will also be JR's guest on the show. I will be talking the Rumble. Tyrus will be talking Tyrus things. So be sure to check that out at podcast1.com later on this week. But definitely looking forward to talking with Jim again. Very grateful that he's having me on the show. Hopefully as grateful as 956 is that we are having him on ProWrestling.net Live. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Casey. I'm calling from Laredo.
I missed your first name. Could you say it again?
This is Casey from Laredo.
Casey from Laredo. I know Casey from Laredo. What's going on, man?
But just before I say my two comments, I just want to say that for those that haven't joined, you all should join for the promotion. I know I did, I believe, WrestleMania weekend and from last year, and I've been a member ever since.
You're the man, Casey. I really appreciate the endorsement. And is Raw in your town tonight? Am I off on my Texas towns?
Yes, it is here on Laredo, but sadly I can't go through because I have school, so I won't be able to attend Raw tonight, which is a bummer.
Education is overrated. Actually, you should DVR the show and definitely go to school. But what's on your mind today, Casey?
I just had two quick things. Since Chris Jericho didn't, I guess you could say, participate in the Royal Rumble, who is next for him to face? And would it be Rusev, or is like, are they going to build someone up to face him?
To that face Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
Well, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit. Are you with me in assuming that we get Owens and Jericho for the U.S. title then?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I think, almost locked in for WrestleMania at this point.
Yeah, we're kind of expecting some sort of a split between those guys, Casey. What was your other question?
Well, sorry if you've already repeated this as well, but like while I was watching the Cena versus AJ Styles match, towards the end, I kind of saw Cena being a little bit more aggressive. Like he was trying, get the willpower to get over AJ. He kind of seemed like he was trying to become like a little bit heelish, trying to figure out ways how to cheat to get to the 16-time champion. I don't know if it was just me that I saw that or you both also saw that as well.
Will, did you notice anything?
I didn't. I've watched the match a couple times and didn't notice anything like that. But I think there was a level of aggression there that John Cena doesn't usually show. But some of that,
yes,
I would argue, is more due to the opponent of AJ Styles. I think there's... I think John Cena and AJ Styles are magic together, and there's something that Styles brings out in Cena that a lot of guys haven't. I mean, I can think, like, maybe CM Punk was able to bring out a similar level of intensity in Cena, but Punk was never the wrestler AJ Styles is. So you combine a lot of things when you have AJ Styles in there.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on anything either. It was certainly an intense match. I guess for me, the ship has kind of sailed on a John Cena heel turn. We've made it this far. He's on the SmackDown brand. I'm not expecting it, in part because he is on the SmackDown brand. I would think if they were going to do a major turn like that, I still think they look at Raw as the flagship. They would do it at a time when John Cena is on the flagship show. But even I guess I've just reached that point where, you know, unless this guy is just around for ages, I don't know that you're going to see it. They seem to be in a pretty good place as far as fan reaction to him. Yeah, they're all going to chant Cena sucks and all that, and they're going to have some fun with it. But it seems more tongue-in-cheek and lighthearted. Roman's the guy right now who has kind of replaced Cena as that guy. And so I just don't see a Cena turn happening. Anything else for today, Casey?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It was a pretty good Rumble, and I guess it would be a more memorable one than the past couple of ones that just occurred that you just simply can't remember.
I'm with you. Yeah, I may not have liked who won, but I definitely enjoyed the Rumble more than I have in recent years. Thank you so much for calling. Always great to hear from a Satisfied.net member. Let's keep rolling through the phone calls. You can join us at 773-897-6321. We are here until the top of the hour. If somebody calls in, even if Will can't stick around, I didn't check with him, but if somebody calls in late, I'll be happy to take your call. I can do a little bit of overtime today, even if Will can't. But up next is 347. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Corey from New York.
Hey, Corey, from the Work Shoot Podcast at work with an ED, shootpodcast.com. Is that right?
Yeah, all you guys listening on Blog Talk today, same thing, we're on Blog Talk. Just quickly say hello to Will and thank him, like always, for doing our podcast last year. And I was actually wanted to ask a quick question on one of Will's former favorite subjects.
Is it Shane McMahon?
One of the other ones.
Oh, bummer. I was really hoping it'd be Shane McMahon.
maybe we could bring that up later. But there was, I guess, Uproxx.com and some other places last week were saying that this whole type thing with Lucha Underground and Netflix, at least for the first two seasons, could be happening sooner than later. And then Court Bauer, I guess, recently said that El Rey Network is sticking with them. They're not getting rid of them. I was wondering, do you guys have any more information at this time on the whole entire Netflix Lucha Underground situation, if there's any new information on there?
Will, I mean, this maybe even Corey brought it up yesterday with John, and I mean, they have like 20 episodes in the can, and they're going to be airing those later on this year, but I haven't heard any. I mean, they're not acting like it's over. As far as the network is concerned, it's not just and I wouldn't expect them to, just to make it seem like a complete lame duck show. But I'm just not getting any indications that it's all over for them. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
I haven't heard that either. I know when they filmed season 3, they filmed a ton of episodes to the point that people were wondering just how many episodes they were filming. The whole season was filmed out of order. I went to, I think, one taping that was in season 3, and it was very very disjointed story-wise, which is good because you're taping a TV show and you're kind of adding the story elements in later the way Lucha Underground does. But I don't know about anything with Netflix. I think it'd be a great distribution model for them. I know I've argued in the past that Lucha Underground is a very bingeable wrestling show. It's a show you can sit down and get your fill of and see a bunch of and not really get tired of. So that's a benefit for them.
It's a perfect match as far as wrestling and Netflix and binge viewing. You know, they're not building up to WrestleMania. Everything is going to feel current. There's really no need for them to use a bunch of dates when they are talking, and when the commentators are talking, they're not hyping house shows. There's nothing that, you know, if you get it out there now, that's going to make it feel extremely dated. You know, if you wait over time, well, naturally some things will happen, technology will change, whatever. But I know I think it is a. It's I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. it just seems like a good fit, and we'll see what happens. Corey, did you have more for us?
Oh, yeah, just one or two other quick things. We already know that Kurt Angle is the first entrant. There's, you know, rumors about Rick Rude and DDP and, I guess, Beth Phoenix. Do you think that's a strong enough, from what we know or the rumors, is that a strong enough class for people to be really interested? I know Kurt Angle is a big headliner, but do you think they need a number two that's going to really help bring interest, or is Kurt Angle a big enough attraction, you think?
All right, very good. We got a little background noise, so I'm going to put you on hold. Will, are you happy with the rumored Hall of Fame lineup? By the way, I can confirm Rick Rude. I mean, I've with him in the area, his family in the area, and there's certainly buzz within the family, I'm told, from people who know them, that, yeah, this is definitely happening.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong class, especially with Kurt Angle, who's one of those guys that we have been waiting for a long time. I think him returning to a WWE show is going to be a major thing, whether it's the Hall of Fame or whether he makes an appearance on Raw or something beforehand. So I think that's strong enough. I think people will go, if Sting was strong enough to headline a WWE Hall of Fame, I think Kurt Angle will be. And I think more of the draw of that show is that there are 100,000 people in town for WrestleMania that night, or a night or two later. So, yeah, it's another show for them to go to and something for them to get excited about.
I think once they announced Kurt Angle, it was good. You know, I mean, it's not that the rest of the class doesn't matter by any means, but you need to have that headliner. And I was a little bit worried this year, well, who's that headliner going to be? They certainly have some options on their, you know, active guys like Goldberg and Undertaker. But Angle was kind of the big question mark, and not a lot of people were thinking about him because it just seemed like WWE wasn't interested in doing much with him at that point. There were strong rumors of him and 2K Sports, and so maybe that should have led to the speculation right there. We may see Angle involved in the video game promotion next year for sure. That's been something that I've been hearing about now for a while. But I think that, yeah, the rest of the class is going to be acceptable. Rick Rude is a guy who should have been in years ago, and I think he would have been had it not been for his untimely death. It's just they're going to restrict the number of deceased talents that they put in there on an annual basis. You might see one, you might see two. I don't think you'll ever see more than two. And then Dallas Page, if he's number two, for me, what I like to see, you always want to see a great lineup that year, selfishly, but I think Page is fine. I think he has a good story. I mean, I remember watching him as a manager in the AWA, and he was already in his 30s at that point, I believe. And to go from just being this manager who wasn't wrestling, wasn't doing much of anything, just managing bad company, the tag team, to all of a sudden having the career that he did with that late start, that's a great story, Will. I mean, it's hopefully we don't get Shameless Shill Dallas Page. Hopefully we get, if there's some humility in the man, nice, humble, yeah, looking back on the career Dallas Page.
Yeah, and I think part of Dallas Page, what they, I think, would be really, what they must mention is the work Dallas Page has done with so many retired wrestlers who have suffered a lot of the demons that the lifestyle has inflicted on them, and that they've ended up succumbing to largely because of the wrestling business. I think talking about how Dallas Page has worked with Scott Hall, Jake the Snake, with those guys, you're going to end up with a pretty emotional and compelling thing for Diamond Dallas Page. His wrestling career, yes, very important, but you can say his impact on the wrestling business is far beyond just what he did in that career.
Another thing to remember about the Hall, too, like let's say you're just somebody that, you know, and I think the lineup is fine, but if you're somebody who isn't a big fan of it for whatever reason, remember that there's also the inductors. You know, it's not just the people accepting. There could be, you know, some big names that are delivering the induction speeches and presenting people for the Hall of Fame as well. You may see a little more star power there. Who do you think is going to induct Kurt Angle, Will? Have you thought much about that?
I haven't thought a ton about that. I mean, you look back at who Kurt's big rivals were, or, you know, contemporaries were, and you have, you have anyone from Steve Austin and The Rock, prominently wrestled Kurt Angle. quite a bit. You have guys like Chris Jericho, Triple H. I mean, Kurt Angle was there for an awful lot of humans that came through WWE and a lot of major stars, really notable matches with Undertaker, really great stuff from even John Cena towards the tail end of their WWE time. Part of me looks to a guy like Edge, who seemed to be like a good friend of his and also a notable rival in moments. I look at a guy like that, I think I don't know, though, because I don't know that they would see that as a big enough name. You've got to think Triple H could be one of the people that inducts him. They were definitely contemporaries for a long time. Heck, even Brock Lesnar could be a strong, strong contender to induct Kurt Angle, and then you add a ton of star power to that Hall of Fame show, and Brock gets up and gives a little, you know, he doesn't have to do much, but gives a little spiel on why Kurt is great, and then you turn around and let Kurt have his moment.
I'll throw out two additional, Nemec. You covered a lot of really good ones there. Sting. Even though they don't have that WWE history together, and that would probably be the thing that would stop. But, you know, I think WWE is going to want to incorporate him into things like this as much as they can. They certainly have that TNA history together. And the other one, Will, I can't believe you didn't mention Shane McMahon.
That's true. Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle did have the best wrestling match this side of AJ Styles against Shane McMahon.
Speaking of which, nice transition point. What is AJ Styles' match at Mania? Is it Shane McMahon? Are they going in a different direction?
I think it looks a lot like it's Shane McMahon right now. You have AJ kind of starting to get upset at Shane, get upset about Daniel Bryan doing things. You kind of have that little that anger with AJ Styles, and I think you could follow that through to its logical conclusion of AJ at some point getting physical with Shane. And Shane, being forced, he's got to do it. He didn't want to do it, but now he's got to be a man and step up at WrestleMania against AJ Styles. And I like it. I am an unabashed lover of Shane McMahon. I think Shane is wonderful, if you don't count matches he's had against Randy Orton and Undertaker in the last decade. I think it's a fine slot for AJ Styles. It's not the ideal one. But honestly, the ideal slot for AJ Styles is against Samoa Joe. It's against Shinsuke Nakamura. It's against guys that WWE seems really hesitant to bring up to the main roster for whatever reason. So I'll say Shane McMahon and say what I honestly would rather see is Shane McMahon says, well, you want to fight me? You're going to have to go through this. And you get Samoa Joe in the SmackDown brand because of this AJ Styles Shane McMahon beef, and you introduce Joe as the kind of heavy, and if you then want to turn Shane and turn Joe in that process, you do something kind of cool where you get AJ Styles as a babyface against Samoa Joe as a heel, and you have a good feud to carry SmackDown into the future once everyone goes, really, we did Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania? The hell were we on?
Let's go to our next caller, 617. You will be the final caller of the day. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Walter from Boston. I'm honored, Jason, to be the final caller of the day.
Well, I'm happy to hear from you, Walter. What's going on?
Now, I thought the event was good, but as a fan, I like to be negative. So my first thought is... How disappointing was it that Roman Reigns' music hit the number 30? I mean, I was thinking in my head, they've gone through all the regulars, all the people we'd expect to see, and was really hoping for that moment at 30 where we'd get something unexpected. And then Reigns comes out, and it's like, oh, God, here we go. But my other thought was the Bayley-Charlotte match. I was really underwhelmed with that. And ever since Bayley and Sasha had that amazing match of the year candidate NXT match, I don't know. It seems like she's missing spots, and they just didn't seem to work well together at all. So I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
I enjoyed that match, Will. We'll start there. I thought they had a really nice match. There were clunky moments in the match, but I actually enjoyed it. And I really was happy to see, you know, I don't know if it's the Rumble crowd, but I don't think so. I think they finally managed to have the Bayley character connect with fans who only know her from the main roster. They didn't watch her entire run in NXT. I think those last 2 weeks of television really helped establish who she is.
I would agree with that. I think they've done a really nice job of finally getting down to the Bayley character and what made fans connect with her in NXT and kind of setting her on that journey that fans really connected with in NXT, going back to those Sasha and Bayley matches. I didn't think the match was clunky. I didn't think it was amazing, but I thought it was a good first chapter in what will probably be a long, long feud between Bayley and Charlotte that will hopefully culminate in that big final match where Bayley wins the women's championship and I cry on my couch for like 20 minutes. But I don't think they – I guess I didn't see the same clunkiness that the caller saw there, and I didn't find it exceptionally underwhelming.
Yeah, I just want to say that I
– Oh, go ahead, Walter.
Thank you. I think that the Bayley character is one of the best gimmicks, if you will, in a long time. And recently they've done a tremendous job establishing – her character. I don't think when she came up it was as well defined. But the word clunky, yeah, definitely comes to mind. I just felt like Bayley is not as crisp as what I remember seeing in some of her better matches. And I do agree that this was a great first chapter in their story. I just thought the match was a little bit off.
Mm-hmm. One thing you may be noticing, I know it's been reported that those NXT women's matches were always heavily rehearsed, that they were very much worked out in the Performance Center ahead of time, especially, you know, the matches that I think a lot of us look back fondly from the 2014-2015 NXT TakeOver era with Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky. Those were really well rehearsed. And even those, if you go back and look, I guess, for clunkiness, you're going to see it. Sasha Banks, I think, does a lot of slightly clunky things that work because the rest of what she does is so good. But I would say some of that, too, could be that this isn't as rehearsed of a match as, say, a lot of those NXT matches were.
And Walter, what was your – remind me of your first point. Oh, you know what? I actually remember. It was the number 30 thing. I was – okay. I was disappointed when – that it wasn't Shinsuke or, you know, Kurt Angle or Samoa Joe, obviously. But brilliant move because you put him in a slot where fans are hoping for somebody else and they get Roman Reigns. They're sick of this guy.
Yeah.
And here he is getting handed the number 30 spot again. Oh, anybody but him, please win. And that's what it set up was anybody but him. They know Randy Orton isn't a popular choice. The way they booked this shows that. And so I think, yeah, it was disappointing. It wasn't a surprise, Will, but I think it was handled beautifully. Knowing that Randy Orton was going to win, that was the move to make.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It seemed like they understood exactly how fans would react. They played the crowd really well, and that's something in the past couple years of Rumble, they've been behind the eight ball as far as the crowd goes, and this is an example of them actually knowing exactly how a crowd's going to react and playing into it really, really nicely.
By the way...
Well, I know it's a popular opinion that Roman Reigns would make. Even Jake Barnett made this point in the chat room.
I was just going to say, Reigns, Jake is in the chat room.
Yes, he's doing a tremendous job, and he's making money at the same time, working hard,
yeah.
I'm sure. That Roman Reigns would make a good heel, and I was saying, you know what, I just don't think this guy's a good pro wrestler, heel or face. For me, it's go-away heat. I don't want to see him on my television that much. My final point to you guys, Shinsuke is seemingly going to be down in NXT till after WrestleMania. and I don't watch NXT that much. Are his promos getting better, or is he not going to be called up or given a significant role because his promos aren't good? I don't know if either of you pay close attention to the product, but I'd really like to see him on the main roster.
He belongs in the main roster. It's something I asked Triple H about in the conference call last week because, you know, my argument has been you wouldn't see a baseball team keep a star player in the AAA system just to prop up the AAA system. You're worrying about the big league. And his counter to that was essentially that he needed this time. I think to get acclimated to WWE production was something he talked about. And I certainly understand, you know, he's moving to a new country.
You've
got
to learn to make entrances.
Well, I mean, I don't know that he needed this much time, would be, you know, if we were able to have a back and forth with Hunter. But, you know, I kind of let him speak his piece on it. I think it's silly that he's still down there. I think it is only a matter of time before he comes up to the main roster. I mean, it could be tonight, but I think it's more likely, I would guess, post-WrestleMania. Is that the timeline for you, or do you think there is a chance we see him sooner?
I think it could be post-WrestleMania. I think depending on what they do to shake up the rosters come spring, that's where the draft was last year. Traditionally, in brand split WWE, that's where they had a draft. It's sometime in like May, June, and into summer with June and July. I could see them doing it there as well, finding a way to bring Nakamura up in that. I think when they do, it will be a big deal. When they do, they will have the deck cleared to make Shinsuke Nakamura a big-name player in all of WWE, which is a very good thing. But you're right when you say they should do it now. Like, watching that Rumble, the only disappointment I felt when Roman came out at 30, which I agree with you in the brilliance of it, like in the creative intelligence that it showed, I'm just sitting there going, you've got big players who can make impacts on this roster. What are you doing not putting your best foot forward? Do we really have to go through another WrestleMania season where these guys aren't going to be featured? Where, you know, you're going to have 7 hours of WrestleMania without Roman Reigns, or with Roman Reigns, always with Roman Reigns, but without Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe on there. Why? Like, what are you saving for? What are you hoping for? And I think if Triple H were honest with himself, he'd say NXT needed Shinsuke Nakamura because we depleted our roster and we aren't making new stars at the speed we should be, so we needed a big-name international talent to come and help prop us up.
I agree. And as far as the question of his promo ability, I mean, he speaks English well, as a second language, but he's not a good promo. It's not, so he'll never be, you know, Kevin Owens on the mic or anything like that. But I think you can work around that. I don't think he's a guy who needs to say a whole lot. I mean, my exposure to Nakamura came when he was working in New Japan, and I didn't hear the guy cut a single promo, and it was instant. Like, my God, this guy is money. And so I think it's okay that he doesn't cut lengthy promos. I think that shouldn't be their concern, Will.
I agree with that. He doesn't cut lengthy promos. You're going to have trouble filling 20 minutes on Raw of Shinsuke Nakamura standing in the ring alone. But at the same time, you don't really need to. You can have people talk around him. You can have other things happen. My God, look at everything they do to escape the weaknesses of Roman Reigns on the mic. Shinsuke, I think, has more charisma and can command a crowd better than Roman. I would easily have Shinsuke out there for at least as long as they'll allow Roman to talk for. Jason? Hello?
Oh, I apologize.
I
hit that pesky mute button again and forgot to turn it off. one final thing to wrap things up. We got an email before the show from .NET member Assassin. He just he was unable to call in today. But he said it seems like every time John Cena has a stellar match, it's due to being against a former big-time ROH talent and being partially carried. Do you see him and Randy Orton flopping again as a main event? And if it does, due to a shortcoming of Cena or the WWE system. And I think, you know, we covered it in the sense that I don't think either one of us thinks that match is going to happen. I'm sure they're going to tease it. I mean, they have to tease it as a possibility, right? I mean, do we see Randy Orton tease the possibility of going after Kevin Owens too? I mean, they really haven't explained that, Will. Which champion is he automatically going after the SmackDown title? Never used to operate that way, but they've never really explained it, have they?
No, they haven't made it clear if the rule that I believe Chris Benoit established in 2004 is still in effect. It was through the end of the old brand split, but they haven't made it clear if it will still be in effect at this point. And they also haven't said much about, okay, well, when does Orton have to make that choice? Like, does he get to wait until the Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views that are between the Rumble and now have happened, or between the Rumble and Mania have happened, or does he have to make a choice now? But, yeah, I don't think Orton and Cena would be that exciting. I think it's partially being carried by Cena, but I also think Cena is a really phenomenal professional wrestler. I think he plays crowds well. I think he plays his role well. And Zach Zimmerman said on the audio you did with him last night that you guys were just talking about the balls-to-the-wall style John Cena works in these matches, and that he's not a guy that's known for just going all out the whole time, and especially these matches with AJ, it seems like he has, and that U.S. title run he had. Cena's turned a corner as a worker. I don't think he's being carried as much as he is being enhanced by being in there by people who are as good as him, I will say. He is helping just as much as AJ is helping.
The man is working his ass off, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think John Cena is a great professional wrestler. Also a great human. Can we talk about that Make-A-Wish kid? I mean, holy crap. Beautiful. Just, yeah, anyways.
On that note, Will, one more time. Where can everybody follow you on Twitter?
At Will with one L Pruitt.
And Will, thank you for 6 glorious years at ProWrestling.net. You have been a friend, and your work is stellar, and I greatly appreciate it. And also,
mostly my work on Star Wars.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we do spend a lot of time talking Star Wars and fantasy football and all sorts of things that other people don't know about. But have we figured out, is your anniversary before or after Jake's? You guys call yourselves the senior staffers of .net. It's really close, but have we figured out who started first?
I think Jake would want me to say I'm the only one who calls us that, but it's me that writes up the description of our audio, so I get to make that choice. And I think I'm technically before him, but by a week or two. Like, it's not very long. I know I started – the first regular feature of mine you ran on the site was the night after – or the – I believe my review of the 2011 Royal Rumble. And that was the first regular thing I did writing for the website. So that's why I always count the day after the Rumble as an anniversary instead of actually looking back and seeing what day it was, because that's a lot of work.
It's Easter-like. It just kind of bounces around, right?
Exactly. Sometimes it's the day after the conference championship game in the NFL because WWE decided to be stupid, and sometimes it's the day after the Sunday of the Pro Bowl.
Thank goodness this year was the Pro Bowl, and next year too. They did not screw that up. Someone better have lost their job over that one. But, hey, thank you very much for joining me today. It is always fun. Be sure to check him out at Will Pruitt, W-I-L, on Twitter. And also, you can check out Will's fine audio work with Jake Barnett. They do the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. They did one exclusively for the members over the weekend. A lot of times you'll hear them on the all-access side, but the guys will do some member-exclusive audio shows as well, as was the case. I think it was on Saturday, if memory serves, their Royal Rumble preview. One of the perks of my job is that I get their audio, obviously, before it goes on the site. I get to hear it before you guys do. And it's as soon as it comes in, I just kind of stop what I'm doing, whatever I'm listening to, and just enjoy that show. Great show, Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett. Also, I will be on the PW Torch livecast on Wednesday at high noon Central, 1 Eastern time with Wade Keller. Similar format. We will be taking your phone calls and talking about whatever it is you guys want to talk about and whatever Wade brings up. I don't have any control, so don't pester me about it, damn it. But no, it's always good to be back on with Wade at the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, later that night, you'll be able to hear me on the Jim Ross, Ross Report podcast. And again, you can hear us tomorrow. I'll be back with Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News. During the show, I thought we had it all squared away about what time it was going to be tomorrow and all that. And then I notice I got to respond to him afterward. We're still good to go for the same time, 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. He thought it was for today. But he's like, what number do I call? I'm just reading his tweets and trying to crack up. So I'll have to get a hold of him. But Brian was at the Rumble, and he was also at the NXT TakeOver show. And you can definitely call in and chat with me and Brian tomorrow. Same time, same place. And one final reminder, 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership for $1. Go to the main page of ProWrestling.net, enter the sign-up area, and enter the coupon code RUMBLE1. All one word, RUMBLE1. Hell, you can enter the number itself. You can spell it out. Whatever works best for you, whatever trip your trigger on that one. A big thanks to everybody who took the time to call in today. And, for that matter, big thanks to everybody in the chat room, including, you never know who's going to show up, .NET staffer Jake Barnett in there raising all sorts of hell. But I will be back tomorrow at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time at blogtalkradio.com. Until then, have a great day. Take care.